Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 509-727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, how you doing over there?
Well, I bet you guys pegged the meter when we set that record high of 80 earlier this week in the Tri-Cities.
Man, it was so nice. I'll tell you, I went down to the river, got some evening walks in during those couple days, and it felt like end of May or June. Mm-hmm. And so, that was a nice little surprise. Obviously cooled off the last day or two, but yeah, we'll take it. It was awesome. I needed some vitamin D, so I think that's just fine.
And it gave your property management people an opportunity to test air conditioning, didn't it?
Absolutely. Nice and quick. We got a couple calls on that for sure. Well, before we light up the airways with the topic of today, because it's gonna be a big one.
Okay.
Today's gonna be a big show for sure. But we do always like to start off with our crazy national celebrity real estate story. Mm-hmm. Out of Architectural Digest this week, I'm going with the basketball theme for March Madness here.
Okay.
And I've got NBA Hall of Famer Tony Parker, some San Antonio Spurs alum. He put his Texas estate on the market for $16.5 million.
Ooh.
I know that's a lot, but McKay, this house has its own water park.
Wow.
Like, I mean, the grounds are massive. Not to mention, so this was custom built in 2009. The house itself is 13,000 square feet.
Wow.
Of course, it has a basketball gym as well.
Duh.
Full workout area, indoor arcade. And this is a new one. I don't think I've ever had this come up in a listing, celebrity-wise or personally.
Okay.
It says that there's a tortoise enclosure on the property. Now, not a listing description that I've ever been able to use in my career. But yes, it comes with a tortoise enclosure. But I got to tell you, the water park, I mean, it's like you would think you were literally going to a theme park when you look at the grounds of this place.
Wow.
It was marketed off market last year for a while, but then they wanted to put a price on it that they thought they could move it at.
Yeah.
And it is an incredible house for sure. To our local real estate market and what's going on, I will say real quick locally, the Fed had a meeting this last week and they held rates. So did not change rates, unchanged again. However, they're still signaling potential 3 rate cuts coming for the rest of the year. Now, there was a lot of speculation on that. That would be awesome if they did. I can give you a conspiracy theory that they're likely to before the election.
Mm-hmm.
But we will see. Fannie Mae also reported, in light of what's going on, that they no longer have confidence that rates will go below 6 this year. So we'll see if the conspiracy theory wins or Fannie Mae's predictions win on the real estate side.
Yeah.
Well, John, I told you it was going to be a big show today.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been working up to this one, and it's a doozy for sure.
Okay.
So there is a lot of real estate news going around, a lot of real estate news. So what happened last week is what we had happen is we had National Association of Realtors announce a settlement agreement.
I heard about that.
In the bombshell lawsuits, which we've done a show on earlier in the year, and we said we're going to monitor this. I said this could have the potential when we did the show last year to upend the real estate industry as we know it. And that has come to fruition for sure. Now, the hard part about news media and the settlement and what it means is how things get construed in the media.
Okay.
I'm going to read you a couple of the headlines this week just to talk about how different and how major this is.
Okay.
CNN's headline says the 6% commission on buying and selling a home is gone after Realtors Association agrees to a seismic settlement.
Okay.
I have a lot of beef with that headline. For sure.
Because you have people that don't ask questions that are writing stories.
Yes. So right after that, the National Association of Realtors had to issue a rebuttal. The next day, their headline says, NAR does not set commissions. So the previous headlines of CNN, they're like, I don't know how that headline's even possible because we don't set commissions. New York Times, National Association of Realtors agree to slash commissions to settle lawsuits. That is not what they agreed to. So New York Times wrong there.
Consider the sources.
Yeah, correct. The Washington Post now, and it kind of pains me to say this a little bit. This might be the first time I've actually ever said this. I think the Washington Post got it the closest. Mm-hmm. Now, they said realtor settlement to lower home sales cost after commission structure change.
Okay.
That's probably, out of all of those headlines, the most accurate of what has happened in the situation going on. I've had numerous calls and conferences calls over the last week, meetings with agents, meetings with other brokerages across the U.S. on what this means and what actually happened. So what happened is, if you remember over a month ago, I reported that it was the Stitzer Burnett lawsuit that was going on. Sellers had brought against the National Association of Realtors.
Yes.
They also named companies like Remax, Keller Williams, Berkshire Home Services. And what they had said is they had lost. Basically, a judgment had been ordered, a verdict had been come out, that they were going to be responsible for like $3.6 billion in this. Mm. When they did that, people started to scramble and move forward. Several of the large companies, Keller Williams, Remax, settled along the way. Until last Friday, National Association of Realtors had not agreed to settle. But we have to go back and look at, number one, why this lawsuit was filed in the first place.
In the first place.
Many industry insiders and people were lobbying for the change of how the commission structure has operated, mm-hmm. basically over the last couple of decades in real estate. They wanted change in that industry, and they wanted to do what's called decoupling the commission. So why the freak out on the nationwide side and why this lawsuit was originally brought was for a number of reasons. But the basic argument in this lawsuit was that sellers were having to bear the entirety of the cost of paying both agents in the transaction. So, for instance, under the old method, what would happen is I would go out to list a house.
Okay.
And so I would come to your house, John, and I would get ready to list a house. And I would say, John, the best method that we have here, one of the best methods we have, is the exposure to other agents that are all working with buyers in our market.
Yes.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to charge you X percent. So let's just say that's 5. It could be 5, 6, 7. That's part of the issue with these headlines that you're reading, the end of the 6% commission, that headline. Mm-hmm. Because NAR has, for all intents and purposes, I can tell you, no one from NAR has ever called me and said, Lance, this is what I need your commission to be at Kenmore Team.
Yeah.
Nor have they, you know, called and said, hey, I saw you gave your buddy, your good friend and your buddy John McKay, who's done the radio show with you forever, I saw you gave him a break and only charged him 4% instead of, and I saw you charge somebody else 7. Mm-hmm. No one's ever called me and done that.
Yeah.
Ever. Now, and
so the 6% is not a hard, fast rule.
It wasn't, but the argument and what was presented during the case, there is evidence that you cannot refute that there was talk across the nation of what realtors thought it should be. Lenders thought it should be, the public thought it should be. So they presented evidence and training materials during this trial from all of these companies that had specific numbers in them. Mm-hmm. And when you're basically dealing with antitrust type laws in that situation, that is a no-no. That is not something. So, but I can honestly say, like, from my perspective, the way I run my team and my brokerage, not only has NAR never called me, but another broker has never called me. Mm-hmm. No one in town has ever said to me, has called me up and said, gosh, I can't believe you're charging that. Mm-hmm. I really stab in the ribs. Hey, I think it would be better if you charge this. I could just, that's not a call I've ever received or had the pressure of. It's always been, you know, set your rates for what you believe your worth is in that situation. Charge to where you can make a profit in your business and how you operate, what you want your business model to look like. And that's how we've set rates. Now, I know that my situation might be unique, and obviously if it wasn't, maybe this lawsuit, there wouldn't be this lawsuit. So from a nationwide standpoint, they've said, here's the case, here's about the rate that has settled out. They've done tons of studies on across the U.S. and where we're going to be at. So they prove this at trial, they get the settlement, and that's how it goes. Now, what they're saying, McKay, is I used to say, John, I'm going to charge whether it's 5, 6, or 7. Let's just say 5. I'm going to charge 5. I really think it's going to cost, you know, me on the listing side to take the pictures and do all of my work, 2.5, say. And let's give the agent bringing the buyer, let's give them the other 2.5.
Okay.
And that'll incentivize them to bring a buyer, pay their agent to work with them and represent them, and we'll get this thing sold for you. So, and you're like, yep, you know what, Lance? I think that sounds like a good idea. I see that on these other comparables, the last 4 or 5 that have sold like my house, they've all offered X amount. I want to compete with them and be competitive. Let's take a look at that and do that. So we would put that offer of compensation into our multiple listing service and say, hey, I got John McKay's house listed. Mm-hmm. Now, please bring your buyers over. And if we have a successful transaction, you as their agent representing that buyer and helping them will receive 2.5% at closing.
Okay.
Fast forward to what's happened now. And one of the settlements, one of the things that have come out of the settlement agreement is that they want sellers to be able to, without any repercussions, list their home in the local MLS and offer zero compensation to the other agents bringing their buyer. Or if they do offer a compensation, part of the settlement is we cannot list what that is in the MLS. So now you got to go back and say, what in the heck? I thought we were moving forward in an age of transparency where people knew what was going on. And in the age of data and numbers being available, why are we going to this extreme of not putting the co-op in there? Well, I got to tell you, I honestly believe my take on this situation is that they feel that the agent commission rates and how agents take buyers and show homes are so entrenched in those commission rates that they can't, even by legislating the change that it's separate from the seller, that the seller can offer zero, they don't trust agents to not filter those listings based upon what the seller's offering. So for instance, John, if you put zero in there, maybe agents that aren't going to get paid anything don't show your house anymore. Now, there's a lot of people listening to this radio show and podcast, and they're saying to me, well, yeah, I'm in business, that makes sense, why are you going to show that house, Lance, that if you're going to get paid zero? I mean, it makes sense, right? Like, like, how are you gonna, you know, feed your family and pay them if that rate's zero? Well, that's the source of the lawsuit, of decoupling the commission. And what I mean by decoupling the commission, John, you pay me because I'm doing the advertising and representing you and all the work and that.
Yeah.
The buyer hires their own agent, and they pay their own agent. The buyer does. So part of the argument in the lawsuit was that if you were offering to pay them or put that number out there, and that was kind of a set amount known in the community, if that was the case, that that buyer never got the chance to negotiate their commission with their own agent.
Okay.
So part of it says the buyer said, well, we could have negotiated a lower commission if you let us negotiate with the agent we wanted to pick and not just offered them a price. So to do that, what the industry has had to say, what NARS had to do as part of the settlement, is said, we're going to make buyers responsible for their own side of the commission and not list out there what sellers are willing to pay. In fact, the cool part about being in Washington State is we were months ahead of this change.
Okay.
Meaning we're basically one of the only states in the nation that I did multiple shows on January 1st. We went over that contract that I talked to you about called the Buyer Brokerages Services Agreement. Washington saw this coming and what was going to happen in this situation. And as of January 1st, legislated and mandated that we have a contract with our buyer. What does that do? When the buyer signs that contract, they know how much they're going to pay me to represent them as a buyer. Even if the seller's offering some sort of compensation, there's mechanisms in our contract that lowers the amount that the buyer might have to pay if the seller's offering some. And if the seller's offering none, then the buyer in most cases will bear the responsibility of that cost solely. So the bigger question that comes out of this is, Lance, how do you think the industry will adapt to that? The biggest problem that I see with this coming is right now, it's not the fact, and agents have been losing their mind about this. Okay, I got to tell you, I have never seen so much stuff on social media from agents absolutely losing their mind about this. Mm-hmm. It's really been an interesting experiment to watch. It's just not really a mindset that it's hard for me to understand. Like, we're already going, we see what the consumer's asking for in this situation, and then we're already modifying our business model to help the consumer navigate through what's going on.
Yeah.
Part of the confusion right now, though, is the industry as a whole does not know. Number one, the settlement isn't finalized by the courts.
Okay.
They expect it to be, and if it is approved, these changes they want done by July 1st, mid-July at the latest. So these changes are coming rapidly, and that's probably why a lot of agents are losing their mind about it. Also, I've noticed people that have been in an industry where the average age is just, skews a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
Change in that industry is really hard for a lot of people. So you have a certain sect of people that just don't want to do it any differently.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's just people in general. It doesn't have anything to do with agents. So I think navigating what this looks like is really scary for a lot of agents. And also there's a lot of agents that are spending time trying to show their worth now because they're going to have to prove to a buyer that they are worth what they've been getting compensation for. Now,
Okay. Why
does Lance think this is bad for buyers? That's really where we get into this situation of, how is this going to be bad for buyers? I potentially see in the next year a pendulum swing where we have buyers have some issues out there. And part of that issue is because of these headlines and what's out there in the news, if you have a large number of sellers that rush to zero compensation models for mm-hmm. buyer's agents, now buyers, first-time home buyers, McKay, if you had to guess, after down payments, after reserves for potential issues and emergencies, 34% of our market are first-time home buyers and millennials. Mm-hmm. After all of that's paid and someone buys a new house, their first-time home buyer new house, how much extra cash do you think that buyer has lying around after the day they move in?
After they buy their first house, I'm going to say maybe a few hundred.
Yeah, you're like you nailed it. Like you're like they could have stretched to the point, and I think like Dave Ramsey and some of these guys might not recommend it. But on many cases, you might see people move into a brand new house in those situations, bought and have less than $3,000 to $4,000 in their bank accounts after they've paid all these expenses. Now,
Wow. What
we're telling you in the industry is you also have to pay your real estate agent. You forgot. That if you want an agent to represent you and guide you through this transaction, they're going to need to be paid. And if the seller's not offering any compensation and you have hired that agent to help you, you've agreed to a contractual amount that they're going to pay you. So can you buy a house now? I don't know the answer to that question. It depends on the amount of savings you have. Maybe now it takes you an extra year or two to save up that extra amount. Or what my concern is with a lot of buyers and the way that a lot of other industries have gone to just computer clicks along the way, is that a buyer decides to forgo representation and not, so the seller's offering, 0% compensation. The buyer just goes direct to the seller. That agent only represents the seller. If the buyer can't pay anything, they're not going to go to. But the buyer decides, you know, it looks like a pretty good house. We could buy now instead of waiting a year if we don't use an agent.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll just go direct to the seller and the listing agent. We'll let that agent do both sides of the transaction and do the paperwork. And I think it'll be fine. There'll be no issues. That could be the mentality that a lot of people get themselves into. And I really stress, and I would rather see buyers wait in that situation and not buy than not be represented. Why? Because I'm in this business every day and I know all the bad stuff that can happen.
Yeah.
So that's the worst part about what's going on in my mind. People, some might think there's a lot of people that disagree with me, but I do believe that's a big problem. When I come back from the break, I'm going to talk about how much did the National Association of Realtors actually agree to pay, along with some of the other requirements of this settlement that changes everything about the real estate industry.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our house in the middle of
Welcome back to one of the craziest news cycles we've seen in real estate in the last 20 years. I got to tell you, it has been a roller coaster out there. People are freaking out about this NAR settlement, what it's doing to the real estate industry. Mm-hmm. Today, we've been kind of breaking down what we think about that and what we think it'll look like. I am here to tell you, though, real quick, I'm going to sneak in a pick three, because regardless of what the headlines say and what's going on, there are still buyers and sellers in the Tri-Cities that were helping buy homes and sellers were helping sell homes. The gist of how that's done and what's going on in the background on a day-to-day basis right now is not much different than it was a week ago. But there is a lot of noise surrounding what it's going to look like. We're always there to help you guys navigate through what that looks like.
Yes.
So my pick three, real quick. Pick number one, I have got one of those gorgeous third floor condos at Columbia Point that overlooks the marina, 386 Columbia Point. This is a three-bedroom, three-bath, almost 3,000-square-foot condo. You know when you're just ready to have no maintenance, be done with it, but have a beautiful view of the marina? Gourmet kitchen, chef's dream, private primary suite, amazing balcony that's over the walk-in bath. We talked about last week, 70s, 80s, and flirting with the 80s. Mm-hmm. This is a great property to jump out on the walking path, enjoy that time of year. That condo's coming in at $1,050,000. Pick number two, 2050 Hudson, four bed, three bath, 3,000 square feet home in Richland. Rambler with a daylight basement, very updated, large backyard, spacious living room, remodeled kitchen in this property. Fully fenced backyard with mature landscaping, covered deck off the main level, and this is coming in priced at $599,900. And then pick number three, we don't get a lot of homes in this good of condition at this price range. This is 6406 in Alpine Lakes Drive in Pasco. Two bed, two bath, 1,000 square feet, move-in ready, fantastic location, large living room, great room concept, vaulted ceilings, fully fenced private backyard, and that property is coming at $350,000. So for newer constructed home, $350,000, we don't get a lot of that. So the impact of NAR settlement, just to give you an indication of not just headlines that were in the news when this was announced, we don't really know the long-term impact of that agreement on behalf of sellers or buyer-related commissions. Right now, a lot of it's speculation, but immediate results were clear because when this was announced on Friday last week, the stock price for RE/MAX declined 3%. For Redfin, it was almost 5%. Zillow was down 13%. And Compass, who previously was in Tri-Cities for a flash, down 14%, and Douglas Elliman down 16%. Mm. So if you don't think it was a major deal, ask the beneficiaries of those stockholders and the prices when that happened. And there's some indication that it is going to be pivotal. So what happened in that situation? We talked before the break a little bit about why I think in the next immediate 12 to 18 months, how this is going to negatively impact buyers and what they're going to be prepared for. The other part about it, though, that might be good is there's always been this discussion in real estate. And I think when we force the discussion from a buyer using a buyer agent, what is your value to the consumer? In the past, people have always been very frank and wanted to have that discussion of, like, for instance, if the industry said it's just a blanket 2.5% or X percent or 3%, if the industry said that, people would ask and say, well, Lance, what about when you show a client two houses and sell them a house and then you get that commission versus when you show a client 25 houses and then you show them a house? I mean, which one obviously did you make more money on? Or another scenario, for instance, where we say, gosh, what if you get 2.5% on a $400,000 house? But then if that's been the model that we've been working on, do you get that same 2.5% on a $1 million house? And what does that look like? Well, in the past, what it's looked like is been the seller's offer of compensation. So now you might have a buyer that comes to you and says, hey, look, I don't think you're going to do that much more work on this $800,000 or the $1 million house. So instead of paying you a set percentage commission, Lance, I'd like you to show me those houses for just, you know, $10,000. Or maybe they come up with an agreement that says, and I say to them, okay, that's great, but you know what? That's not how much I'm used to getting paid. I really don't think it's worth it for my years of expertise in that. I tell you what, I'll take the 10 grand on that deal, but I'm only going to show you 10 houses. And if you need to see more than 10 in that situation, then for the next each one we show over that, let's increase that by $1,000. Okay, right now, like, I think I just got a text on my phone. People have never heard of this. They're freaking out. Mm-hmm. I've got agents telling me not to give people these types of ideas on the show. But here's models that no one knows about, right? Like, we haven't seen these models. Some people might start saying, I'm just going to pay my agent hourly until we find the house, and that's going to be my agreement with that agent. And some people might want a very experienced agent because it's the last house they're going to buy. And some people might say, I want a new agent that doesn't know what they're doing, and I'm going to pay them $50. I don't know who's going to say that.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't. But people are going to have to make that judgment call. And now what this legislation has done, the good part about this that I love is it's forcing that conversation. Mm-hmm. It really is pushing that conversation between the agent and their client. And I think that's huge because some agents out there are going to say, I'm worth 15 grand every time. And that's what you're going to pay. It's a flat fee. I don't care if the house is, you know, 320,000, or I don't care if the house is $1 million. I mean, my fee's $15,000 and that's what you're going to pay. That might be a business model that somebody comes up with. Somebody else might say, hey, I'm brand new to this. I don't really know what I'm doing. And I don't have as many expenses as some of these other people. And so I'm going to charge $3,000. I also just started and I really don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm not worth as much as a veteran agent is in the business. I'm not answering these questions. I'm just giving perspective to people that the conversation is what's very important. What Yes. do you as a consumer want? What are you willing to pay? And what agreement can you come to with your agent? Now we're having these conversations before we start looking at houses. So that part about it, I do love in that case. The other thing that is still just a little bit unknown with the settlement that I think is bad for buyers that we don't know how it's going to work yet is I have a problem with the non-display of what the seller is offering for the commission. The only reason I do is because we haven't gotten clarification yet from the industry on what this looks like or how it works and why I have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it as an agent. I have a problem with it, though, for my buyer. Mm-hmm. Because if my buyer and I have a contract that says if the seller doesn't pay, you're going to pay me. And I say if the seller does pay, I'll subtract that from what you owe for me, which is very common in our industry right now. The problem I have is if I go show a buyer six houses, mm-hmm. and instead of just thinking about what the house they like the best in that situation, we are going to have a little bit of a worry that when I go show those six houses to the buyer and the compensation for me is not listed in there, my buyer doesn't know what it's going to cost them to buy each of those houses. Mm-hmm. Or if the one they like, it's just lucky that they picked the one where the seller was offering compensation and I don't have to pay Lance as much. We don't know what that looks like yet. And for me, that's a big unknown in the industry right now because we don't know legally what we can do yet. We just know that the big change was that we can't post it in the MLS. Does that mean it's going to be posted on another website? Does that mean bigger companies in town are just going to post it internally, which is not the MLS? Mm. So their agents know in town and other agents don't know. I've heard so many different iterations of this. And so we're going to be keeping track of that and what that looks like for you guys. The biggest thing is conversations around what's going, because right now we're still doing a lot of real estate with the new laws that happened in Washington 3 months ago. The coolest part about this is we already, as agents in this local Tri-Cities market in Washington, we're probably 75% of the way there to complying with the settlement. So
good.
A few new tweaks coming in line there that we have to deal with, and we'll be working through that. We got a lot of new inventory coming up. It's still a great time in the market. We're going to be coming into our spring market. If you have any questions, though, about what this can do for you, let me know, because for certain sellers in certain segments, there might be some cost savings here and what that looks like for them. At the same time, buyers, you're going to want to know what you're paying your agent that you're hiring, and then making sure you're getting an aggressive agent that is going to help get the most amount of money for you to take the least amount of money out of your pocket at closing. Any questions about navigating what this looks like, and I encourage people to ask those questions before you sign any contracts, go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message. We are here to help you navigate through this change in real estate. It's a lot. There will probably be many more shows as these get implemented and these rules change, and we will keep you updated as that happens. But enjoy the ride. We're here helping people buy and sell real estate and make their dreams come true with that. And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.